Good morning. Greetings to each of you this morning. Greetings in Jesus' precious name. If I could just comment on another song, I've been touched by quite a few of the songs we sang this morning. But the one we sang here just as we finished up Sunday school, Lord, I am finally earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. So we think of a new year, and for a sermon this morning, I was thinking about new things. We serve a God that delights in new things, and he delights in renewing us, renewing his children. And our desire, as we come here this morning, is our desire to be renewed as we come through a week, and as our week where we were sick and working through getting better and feel better here today. Yes, toward the end of the week it started coming around, but be renewed again. Sometimes our schedule gets busy and full, and it's good to come together on Sunday morning and step away from our work. And to sometimes you get this longing in your heart to spend some time and just to feed our inner man. Be renewed. I also thought of Ponce de Leon. He's the explorer, early explorer, come across. I think he was from Spain. And he was looking for the fountain of youth. And he spent many hours, he looked and looked, many years looking for that fountain of youth. But the problem was he's looking for the wrong fountain. And he never found it. But here we are together. Are we coming together and being renewed of the fountains of living water? It doesn't cost us a thing, and there's an ample and a bountiful supply of it. I was meditating, trying to think about what I would preach on about a new year, and I just thinking ahead of the lots of things we don't know about this year, uncertainties, questions. But beside that, think about new things. And we get notifications, get phone calls. There's people are excited about new babies coming to our group, and we're excited about that. We anticipate new life, and it's a tremendous blessing. I didn't double check, but I think there's some graduating from school this year, maybe. New steps in our lives, and probably some new children getting ready to go to school. Anticipating a new life in school life, going to school with their siblings, what that's going to be like, what you can learn, what is that going to entail? Changes, and we're excited about the new thing. It's getting a permit or a driver's license, the new experience of navigating a vehicle all by yourself. You're free. It's new. You never experienced it before, and you get to go out on the road and new responsibilities. Also thought about the other week, we started a new instruction class for some young boys, and Lord willing, we look to the day that they can make a public statement, a public confession in front of everyone that they are putting a stake in the ground and walking in a new life. There's a new king in charge of their lives, and just lots of new things, and we're excited about that as we look forward to a new year. It brings excitement. And there's something that goes with the new that we anticipate a life that follows it. If I purchased a brand new vehicle, I'd be pretty disappointed if I went and bought this vehicle, even if it was a used vehicle, something to replace an old, unreliable vehicle. I'd be pretty disappointed if a couple miles down the road it just left me sit. You got this new thing, and you're anticipating something coming out of it. You're anticipating a life with it. Young child, you think about getting excited about going to school. There's something there that you're anticipating, whether it's learning to read. You have all these books that you long to read. Ask your parents to read. You're looking forward to reading by yourself. I guess learn how to draw pictures. You see people draw beautiful pictures. Learning math, maybe, so you can cook or biology. You can raise plants and animals, different things you can learn. We look forward to what comes after us. It's new and it's an experience. It's something that's going to come next. Same thing as we hold a brand new baby, we anticipate what the life of that baby is going to be, what they're going to look like, what they're going to act like, what the Lord has in store for their life as they grow and they become what the Lord wants for their lives. Again, as we think about new things, we tend to think about life that goes with it, a lifespan, a life. And as God is a God of new things. And for a title this morning, I chose God Who Makes All Things New. Could have also wrote God Who Gives Life. I enjoyed the devotional thoughts that Elmer brought forward, thinking of the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's definitely some work of the Holy Spirit as I think about the message here. Think of the sustainer and the God who makes things new. I focus more, talk about God, but there's a work of the Holy Spirit in with this that brings life. It's God who creates and sustains. And it's his work in redeeming mankind to a new life, not death, but an eternal life with him. And Lamentations 3, if you would just turn to Lamentations for there's a verse there that stood out to me. Jeremiah, Lamentations. I think of Lamentations as maybe being a little bit negative. But in the middle of it, you have Lamentations 3, verse 22. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Every morning, we have another opportunity to experience God's grace. And his mercies are new. They bring life. If it wasn't for the mercies of God, we wouldn't be here this morning. He says we would be consumed. Another book of the Bible, we could turn to Isaiah 43. But as you think of the word new, Isaiah has the most... the word is used most times in Isaiah than any other book of the Bible. Isaiah 43, verses 15. He says, "I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariots and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the beasts of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." back to verse 15 as it begins there. He talks about the God is not only a God of the past. He draws their attention. He reminds them of what God did in the past. But he brings their attention to the present of God as the Creator, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And he is going to redeem, he's going to give a new way, a life. He's talking about to these people that were in captivity, and he is going to provide a way. He's going to provide a new, and it's going to be a miraculous, waters in a desert, and freshness, and it causes people to anticipate the new intervention anticipate God's new intervention into their lives. And as we think into the new year, it's often, I don't know, maybe you already are thinking about your New Year's resolutions, maybe you already broke some. But as we think about things that we desire to do, things that we need to do in the year, And it's tempting for me to put my focus on what I need to get done, what I want to do, the changes I want to make. And there's good to that. But we also need to remember that even among our workings, God is doing work, and that he will intervene in our life. And again, I like that verse that is up there, that God is doing a good work in us, and he will perform it. And we need to remember, as we plan up and we look forward to a new year, that we anticipate God's work in our lives. I'd like to just turn to Luke 19 now. The first point I have here is spiritual renewal begins with a new heart. And I was just inspired as I studied the work of God, is the renewal work of God in our lives. What all that entails, and it's a beautiful thing. It's all through the Bible. The story of salvation is the renewal work of God. And I like the story. We can just see it in this man's life. Luke 19. Yeah, the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come into this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost." And then he goes on later. Just, it was inspiring to me as I thought about, if we read the story of Zacchaeus, his interaction with Jesus. And it took a man that was, you could say, a thief, someone that was out to get everything he could get, rob the poor, and he was very rich, taking advantage of people. A publican was a tax collector. He was out, you know, doing his job, getting taxes for the Roman government, and charging extra, getting taking advantage, and padding his wallet very thickly. And I don't know what sacrifice this ended up being whenever he gave fourfold back to these people that he had taken too much from. But the challenge to me was, he didn't ask Jesus what the least he could, what he had to do to give to make this right. It was out of his own heart that he comes forward and he says, "I'm going to give fourfold." And it doesn't say what all his family or servants thought whenever he come home and said, "We're getting rid of stuff. This is a massive work that we need to do to correct these wrongs that I have done." This man, it was obvious change. It wasn't that Jesus was twisting his arm and saying, "This is what you need to do." It was out of his own heart that he was going to do this. It was evident in his life choices that he was changed. It began with a spiritual renewal, began with a new heart. He selflessly returned way more than he had taken. That's transformation. Think of renewal, spiritual metamorphosis, from an unfair, demanding tax collector to a philanthropist, you know, reaching out, giving, giving much more than what he had taken. And that just shows what the work of Jesus can do in our hearts, the renewing work of Jesus. As he interacted with Jesus, it doesn't even say that Jesus told him what he had done wrong. He knew that he had done wrong, and he was going to correct it. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 18 says, "But we all come with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image, into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And it's amazing to me as we, and I think I've talked about this in my last sermon, as we see the image of the glory of God, we're changed. And that word in the Greek is metamorpho, and where we get the word metamorphosis. And it's a change that's dramatic. As you children, I don't know what age you study metamorphosis in school, but if you hadn't studied and you didn't know what metamorphosis was, and you say you had an aquarium in the back of your room and you had a whole cluster of frog eggs and they were hatching and they had these little tadpoles swimming around and they were fun to watch. And you leave for Christmas vacation, you come back and there's no tadpoles in that aquarium. Instead, there's frogs everywhere. You would wonder, what happened? Where did these frogs come from? A dramatic difference. There's no connection between a tadpole and a frog. It's a complete change. In the Bible, it also uses the same Greek word when it talks about Jesus was transfigured. His glory shone. It was different. It was different than what he was just walking around. I just thought about Zacchaeus. Just like Zacchaeus, as he met Jesus and he was changed. He was totally different from this tight-fisted tax collector to someone that was just helping, taking care of, being fair correcting, looking out for the good of others. It's amazing. It's beautiful to watch, and it's just like a same as a butterfly. It goes through the stages of metamorphosis. You have this caterpillar and the worms, and my son loves to play with worms, but he doesn't understand that someday that worm is going to turn into a cocoon and miraculously turn into a butterfly. And it's a beautiful, it's amazing work of renewal, and the same thing can happen in our hearts. And it's beautiful to watch people that go from just a hard-hearted, tough, just you wouldn't think that they would ever have a soft spot in their heart, and God can touch them and renew them, and suddenly they have a soft heart and they're gracious and they're kind and wonderful to be around. It's a beautiful thing. You turn to Psalm 51. So you think of spiritual renewal beginning in the heart. Here we have David, and he had just sinned, and Nathan came and confronted him with his sin, and after that he writes a psalm, and it's a change of heart is what it is. It's a renewal of the working of God in his heart. And let's just read it, and just think about the change that took place as he now is writing these verses. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I have shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall renew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in, delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. This was inspired as I read down across that, thinking about the what God desires out of our lives. Not that like Zacchaeus was going to gain his salvation through correcting all the wrongs that he did, but by sacrifices of righteousness, living righteousness, a clean heart, renewed spirit. And in that will give tremendous joy, as verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God loves renewing things. He doesn't. I don't know that it actually ever says that somewhere, but you can see in all that he does, he's continually creating. He's a creator God, and he is renewing, and he has went to great lengths to make it possible that we could be renewed and have a relationship with him. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. As I think about, as we come to service and as we come to God, the call is that we would draw near to God and he would draw near to you. And that has meant a lot to me. That verse has meant a lot to me sometimes in hard times, is that we have this, we serve a God that just wants us to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. He promises that he will be there with arms open wide to renew us with his spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And that happens as we draw near to God, draw near to him. And the psalmist writes, he says, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon his name, to all that call upon him in truth. He also said that the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. God desires to renew and give us life, and when we call upon him. Just turn to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verses 14. Is a prayer that Paul is praying to the people in Ephesus, and it's a powerful prayer. Verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. those verses he's praying that we would be able to understand the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. And that is tremendous. To get even just to get a glimpse of that is tremendous, as it's it says it's way past our knowledge, but that we might be filled with the fullness of God. That's renewal. That's renewal to our hearts. And as we look forward to a new year, that's our prayer, that we could be right there. Spiritual renewal gives us a new name. And Isaiah 62, verse 2 says, "And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and they shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." Now that's referring to the redeemed Israel. And also in Revelation, Jesus says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." When we are renewed, our identity changes, and we have a new name. We have the blessing of Jesus Christ on our lives, and we're numbered with the saints. I thought it was fascinating. I didn't get it studied to why. In another verse in Revelation, I think it's previous church, he says that they were called by a new name, and it was a name that no one else would know. I was meditating on that, and I wonder if it is the inner peace that we are called. We know that we are called and we're chosen as we become a Christian, and that even though people don't accept, even though people don't treat us as, however, we can know that we are right with God and we're chosen, and it's a peace that we can have, that we know that we are a Christian, and we can be at rest with whatever comes out of that. I think about several different times in the Bible, their names are changed. Especially think of Saul. When he was converted, God gave him a new name, because from that day forward, he was a totally different person. And if you want some inspiration sometime, go look up the list of names that God calls his people, and meditate on that. And here's just a few of the names. He calls them believers, beloved children, beloved brethren, chosen ones, Christians, the elect, heirs, lights, trees of righteousness. And I thought that there was some food for thought there. Just think about a tree of righteousness in some other translations it says oaks of righteousness. But just to think what that all could mean. Ransomed of the Lord, the righteous, the sought, his sheep, children of God, children of light, vessels of honor, vessels of mercy. It's what God calls his people. It's a new identity. It's part of what it means to live a life in Christ. Next point is spiritual renewal gives us a new song. And as we become renewed, we become a Christian, and are renewed, we sing to a different piper, you could say. We sing the song of the redeemed. And in Revelation, it mentions the song of the redeemed, a song that the angels wouldn't be able to sing. There's another song that has meant a lot to me also, as sometimes in challenging times, times that we need to draw near to God, thinking of drawing near to God, coming to the living water and drinking and being renewed, laying down our burden and meditating on the Lord. And as we leave from there, as we leave from that, we can have a lighter and a freer heart. We can have a song in our heart. There's some verses of a song that's been going through my mind the last couple weeks. It's a song, The Heartbeat of God. The first verse says, "Sometimes I feel discouraged. I do not understand the way the Father leads me, the way that he has planned. But you know best, O Lord, so draw me close to thee, that I may feel your heartbeat bringing life to me." The third verse says, "By faith I'll step right up and stand by Jesus' side to feel the beat of love and there to safely hide. I will trust in him to see me safely through until in heaven with Jesus, oh, so free and true. And the refrain says, the heartbeat of God. It means life and love to me. I don't want to be in doubt and troubled misery. So draw me closer, Father up above, that I may always feel your heartbeat of love. And sometimes in the difficult things, sometimes difficulties in life, I think we mentioned that before, that God lets them into our lives that he can draw us to a closer relationship with him. I know the other week, whenever we sent my daughter into for MRI, and we're wondering what the future, what we weren't terribly scared about. We were nervous, and then we left her go with the doctors and went back to the room and suddenly started thinking about what all they might say whenever they come back. And I'm meditating there, and my wife reminded me that whatever the plans, whatever reason God is trying to teach, whatever lesson he's trying to teach us, let's be open to what lesson he has for us in this, and that maybe it's just another opportunity that he wants us to be able to draw closer to him. And it was just a blessing as to stop and think about in our weakness, in our times whenever it feels like it's out of control, is that we can draw near to him. And in that, we have the opportunity to feel his heartbeat and have a closer relationship with him. And thinking about a new song, I wonder if that's another thing that we have as Christians, have that ability, is to sense the heart of God more than the angels. I know the angels come in and out of his presence, but as we walk along and we reach to God for strength, for help, we can sense his heart as he guides us and renews us. Just like a child needs the love of their parents, so I need to draw near to God, and then I can have a song to sing. Like I mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So, as you think about our new year coming up, new things, exciting new things, and it's powerful to think about the God who is delights in new things, delights in renewing us. And as we go about our work and our plans, God is also going about his work and plans. And our desire should be at the end, is looking forward to 2026, is that at the end of 2026, we have a closer, maybe have heard the heartbeat of God more, and have a closer relationship with God, drawn into his, draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning, thankful for the many blessings, mercies that are new every day. Thank you for working in our lives, drawing us to you, and the work of your Spirit in our hearts. We're so needy people, and we're so weak, and sometimes we need you to show us that we cannot go in our own strength, but we need to rely on you. And help us to draw near to you and to have a closer relationship with you. So you would just give us a song, a new song in our hearts as we walk in your strength, and a new song of redemption that we can sing, and that we can, as we have faith in you, that there's a testimony that could flow from our lives to the world around us, that it's through you that we can have strength for each day, each challenge that may come this coming year, each blessing, each new thing, new life that you give us, and just help us not to take it for granted, but to use each moment for you, and that your name would be honored and glorified in all that we would do and say this year. Guide us and keep us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.